lessons on iniquity, inherited sin. And as you see this young lady on the front of the bulletin, as we said on last week, she's tied up in all of these, what you call, that's how DNA is represented. In science and things of that nature, you should be familiar with the way that that image looks. And that's strands or how DNA is represented graphically. And the reason why she's tied up like that is because of the text scripture that's on the front. Psalms chapter number 51 and verse number 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now, iniquity, as we went over on last week, is inherited sin. Everyone is born in the state or the condition of sin. We do not have to try to be sinners. We are already sinners by virtue of the way that we are born. Say, well, what can I do to fix that? Well, that's why Jesus gives us a plan or the new birth. It is to deliver us from that nature. But you do not have to try to be a sinner. Just like I don't have to try to be a black man, you don't have to try to be a sinner. That's who you are by nature. That's who you are by nature. Because of Adam's disobedience, everyone that comes into the earth is born in the state or the condition of sin. Sin has plagued this whole environment. It just didn't have an effect on humanity. It had an effect on the animals. It had an effect on everything, the earth itself. All of it is plagued by sin. So when you look at things, especially when you look at the news and all of the killings and things of that nature, you might say, this is such a bad world. And you may look at someone and you may say, oh, they're so horrible. Well, they're no different than you and I. They're no different than you and I, because all of us are born in that state. The only difference between that may separate you from that other person is you had a mind to do something about sin. But that other person that is still under the influence of it is just acting out of a nature that's already in them. They're not trying. They're not trying to do it. It's already in them. You don't have to try to be a sinner. It is already in you. Somebody say, well, if I sit in my room and don't do nothing, don't say nothing, don't bother nobody, it doesn't matter. You're still in your sin. Even if somebody puts you on put a baby on a deserted island, don't teach him anything else that this world is, these things that the world sees. He's still going to grow up in sin. Sin is still going to have its way in his life. Scriptures, if you look on the inside of your bulletin on the right, on the left side, it proves that. Let's look at a couple of these scriptures. The second one is Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12. It says, "Wherefore as by one man, sin did what? Sin entered into the world, and sin did not come by itself. It brought something with it. It brought death with it." Death is to be separated from life. So each and every one of us come into this earth separated from life. Say, well, I thought when you're born, you say, well, I thought we were already alive. Well, you may be alive physically, but the part of you that is more important is the part of you that is able to connect with Jesus. When Adam ate of that fruit that he was told not to eat of, he brought a wedge between you and Jesus. It was just like a separator. It was like a divider. And we went over that, I believe, on last week. Was that Isaiah chapter number 59 and verse number 1? "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short, that it cannot save you. His ear is not heavy, that he doesn't hear you. But your sins or your iniquity have separated you from your God. Your sins have hid his face from you." So it's not as though Jesus doesn't have the power to help you, but you've got a blockage there. You've got something that's separating you from righteousness, from the power to do right. You know, People always say this, I just couldn't help it. No, you couldn't help it because you don't have no power to help it. That's why the things come out of you that shouldn't come out of you. All of it is evidence or proof that that nature has got a hold of you, right? That's the truth. It's your evidence, it's your proof that that nature has a hold of you. And if that nature has a hold of you and it's controlling you, you're going to act out what that nature wants you to do. Sin is all about confusion. If you go over to, I don't have it there on your bulletin, I don't think. Yes, I do. Look at Isaiah 57, 20 and 21. It says, the wicked are like the what? Troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up what? That's right. So when you're seeing someone that is in sin and sin still has them captive, these are the characteristics. These are the attributes. This is what you're going to see. You're going to see them up and you're going to see them down. You're going to see them happy. You're going to see them sad. You're going to see them positive. Then you're going to see them negative. You say, well, I thought you was just saying something sweet to me one minute, and now you're cussing me out the next. Or you're saying something evil or hateful to me now. Well, the scripture's telling you, the wicked are like the what? The troubled sea. When it cannot. So that's the powerless state of that sinner. That sinner wants rest, but he can't rest. Why? Because sin is having its way in him. That's the truth. You just look at even in your own mind. If you don't have Jesus, you're never going to be able to find peace. You're never going to be able to find rest. There's never going to be a sense of calm. Why? Because your mind is troubled by sin. Sin is having its way inside of you. You need to be delivered from that nature. That's the truth. As a lot of times people say, well, such and such, they joined the church, such and such did this. Such and such did that. Such and such is reading their Bible. But then you don't see it add up. You know, it's nothing consistent. You know, it's they're doing right for a moment. But then after a while, it's like the light switch. Something turns on the inside of them. Or something turns off, however you want to word it. And you say, well, what in the world has done happened? Well, they're letting you know, I can't do any better than what I'm doing. Why can't you do any better than that? Because the scriptures describe me as being the wicked. And the scripture says the wicked are like the troubled sea. And this didn't just happen to you when you got older. You were like this when you were born. Because the scripture says the wicked are strange from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. Doing what? As proof that nature is in you. The tendency to do what? Lie. Or even you say, well, I don't say lie. You present yourself in a lie, in a state of lie. How I present myself in a state of lie? When you know you're not at peace. When you know everything is not all right. That's the truth. When you know everything is not all right, you're not at peace. And you ought to present yourself honestly before Jesus. That's why David messed himself up when the prophet came to him, Nathan, and started telling him about, you know, the sins or the wrongs of an individual. And David just went on down the line trying to be righteous, saying, well, we should do this. Certainly this man is deserving of this punishment. And this man is deserving of this judgment. And Nathan, after he got finished describing the individual, he said, the person that I'm talking to, David, is you. But you look at how sin tried to cover David up. Where David couldn't see himself. He was able to see wrong in somebody else, but he couldn't see it in himself. And that lets you know that's just how that nature works. It tries to keep you concealed. It tries to keep you covered up so that the real you won't be exposed. So that the real you won't get the help that it needs. Well, the real you, in order for you to get the help that you need, the person got to first come to grasp with, I need help. That's the truth. First, I got to come to grasp with, I can't help myself by myself. What do you mean you can't help yourself by myself? I have to acknowledge the state of my condition. I have to acknowledge that I am in this state. Come on, let's go over to Psalm 51. That'll be a good one. 51 and 1. That'll be a good one for us to look at a little bit on this morning. Maybe it'll help us out. Got to be able to deal with this thing, this nature. It's not going nowhere. It's not going nowhere. Sin is not going anywhere. You've got to deal with it. You can't pacify it. You can't say, it'll eventually pass. It's not going to pass. You got to be delivered from that nature, right? People are saying, why y'all call Jesus so much? Because you need to be delivered from that nature. Huh? Come on, you can't praise your way past this. You can't shout your way past this. Only one that can deliver you from sin is Jesus, right? That's what the only one that can deliver you from that nature is Jesus, right? Come on, let's see Psalm 51. What did I say? 51 and 1. This is how it starts. It's even that when the wicked understand that I have a desire to do evil, right? That desire don't have to come from anywhere. It's already in you by virtue of the way that you are born, right? You have a desire to do wrong, huh? You have a desire to be bitter. You have a desire to be hateful, huh? You have a desire to want to be to yourself, huh? I don't want nobody to bother me. Everybody get on my nerves. Everybody irritates me. Well, that's proof that nature has had a way inside of you. This is not who Jesus designed you to be. Huh? Come on, saints, that's truth. Jesus didn't design you to be a lonely creature. Jesus didn't design you to sit up in some closet all by yourself. He didn't design you to be sitting up in the woods all lonely. Huh? Come on, Elder Scudder, what are you talking about? He told Adam from the very beginning, it's not good for you to be alone, right? The only reason he wants to be alone is because he's struggling with that nature. He can't stand people, huh? Come on, that's true. Can't stand people. Can't stand to look at them, huh? You look at them, you talk to them long enough, they seem like they are, right, but then you just start looking at them weird. You say, well, what is wrong? It's not so much as what is wrong with them, is what is wrong with you. Huh? You've got that unrest state inside of you. Huh? The scripture done called you like the troubled sea. It wants to rest. Huh? It wants to be calm. It wants to be still. It wants to get along with everybody. But you just can't do it. Huh? That's the truth. The evil thoughts. The evil desires keep surfacing, huh? They keep swimming around in my brain, huh? One writer said, who shall deliver me from this body of death, huh? These death thoughts, huh? Come on! These thoughts that divide, these thoughts that are contrary to the righteousness of Jesus, huh? Come on, don't you know when a person gets the Holy Ghost, he gets righteousness, peace, and joy. He gets love down on the inside. Well, if you got thoughts opposite of that, something is wrong. Huh? Something is not like Jesus on the inside, right? Come on, call it out for what it is. And Psalm is trying to help you how to deal with that thing. Well, first thing I should be doing is asking the Lord for mercy. Huh? Mercy from what? Mercy from me. Deliver me from me, right? Have mercy upon me, O God.
According to thy
what did love do? Huh? What did love do? Romans chapter number 5. God, who is rich in his love, was great love toward us. And that while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. Huh? Come on, that's the extent of the love that Jesus has shown to you. Huh? You can't run past that. Jesus died for me. Huh? That way you don't have to worry about no other human loving you. All you need to be is enraptured in that Jesus loved me so much that he died for who? For me. Huh? Knowing that all the stuff that I was going to do, all the stuff that I was going to say, yet he still stayed up on that cross. Huh? Stayed up on that cross and he suffered, bled, and died for who? For me. Huh? You say, well, I don't think the Lord loved you like that. Yes, he do. How you know he loved you? Because he brought you into this world. He brought you into this world during a time that's different from the time of Moses, during the time that's different than the time of David. He brought you into this world during the time where Christ could be in you. Huh? Don't you realize the privilege that you got right now? You're living in the day and time where Jesus Christ could be in you. You don't have to be talking about him. You can actually have him living down on the inside of you, right? Holy Ghost is Christ in you, right? That's the truth. Holy Ghost is Christ in you. He brought you into existence during a time where you and I could have Jesus living down on the inside. The one you reading about on this book, I could actually have him living down on the inside of me. Huh? Come on, I ain't talking about something fake. I ain't talking about something hocus pocus. I'm talking about the creator of heaven and earth. Huh? The most righteous being you and I will ever know. Huh? When I'm talking about righteous, I mean the most right, the most just, the most fair being you and I will ever know. You have the privilege and opportunity to have him dwelling inside of you, right? That's what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is Christ in you, right? Is Jesus living down inside of you? Huh? Not a feeling of a shout. Huh? No, that's not what it's all about. It's actually having righteousness living down on the inside of you. Righteousness is empowering you to serve him. Serve him out in the beauty of holiness. Huh? So that you can follow peace with all men. Not just who you choose to, but you can follow peace with all. You can't do that without the Holy Ghost, right? You can't do that without the Holy Ghost. How can't you do it without the Holy Ghost, Elder Scudder? Because you got the wicked nature inside of you. You got the sometimey nature inside of you. You got that wishy-washy nature inside of you. The up and the down nature. The trouble see ain't still. Lord could have used any old kind of words to describe the name, but he called you the troubled sea, whose waters cannot. I don't care how much medicine you take. I don't care how many vacations you go on. You cannot rest. You still got to deal with you, right? You still got to deal with you. You can't drink it away. You can't smoke it away. Huh? You still got to deal with you. Huh? Huh? Come on, and it starts with you asking the Lord to have mercy. Huh? Don't run past that. I know the rest of the chapter is a good chapter, but you got to deal with the first verse. You've got to start off by saying, Lord, have mercy on who? On me, right? According to what? Your love and your kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies. Isn't that a beautiful thing? One thing I've come to learn about Jesus, it seems like his mercy is endless. Huh? Come on. No matter how many mistakes or shortcomings people bring them before me, or I even bring before myself, mercy is still standing there with his hands stretched out. Huh? Mercy is still standing there. You say, Elder Scott, how do you know he woke you up this morning? He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to wake you up this morning. He could have laid you right there. Huh? He could have let your eyes open, but your body not move. Huh? Come on, that's true. You could have woke up paralyzed this morning. But mercy lets you wake up. You may not be feeling your best, but the mercy lets you wake up. Huh? You didn't have to have nobody to dress you. You dressed yourself. Huh? Mercy did all of that for you. Huh? Mercy did all of that for who? For you. And when you look back over the mercy of Jesus, he's been doing that all of your life. That's what makes mercy described as being a multitude. Huh? It seems like it's endless. All of these years I've been on the earth, every year for 365 days, he's been merciful to you, right? He could have cut you off. He had every right to snatch the breath out of you, but mercy kept on extending itself towards you, right? Huh? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Huh? Come on, come on. You don't want sin to stay there, but you need to get all of it out of you. Everything that's contrary to Jesus. Huh? I mean every thought, every way, every piece of advice that doesn't line up with Jesus. Huh? There's a whole lot of people be talking. But you got to make sure that advice doesn't line up with Jesus. Huh? Come on, Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man. Huh? That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Huh? Nor standeth in the way of the sinner. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law. This is the law of the Lord. The thing that makes him happy is the word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law he meditates. Huh? Come on, you want to talk about receiving the Holy Ghost? This is how you get it. You got to keep the word in your mind day and night. Huh? You got to have an appetite for the word. I don't care what else the world is doing. You've got to put that stuff down and say, Jesus, give me your word. Huh? Give us this day our daily bread. Give me your word, right? Let me feast on that word. Let that word lead and guide me. Huh? Let that word be a light unto my feet. Huh? Let that word nourish my body. Huh? Let it be fat to my bones. Huh? Let the word do that. Let the word bring to light every dark area of my life. Huh? Huh? Every dark area of your life, you want the word to expose it. Huh? Why? Because I got to be right. Huh? Why do you got to be right? Because the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to judge me by the standards of righteousness, right? Ah, that's the truth. And I ask the Lord to fix me up. Make me what I'm supposed to be. But it starts with me having an appetite. I got to meditate on that word. Huh? Come on, you just can't be reading it. You got to put the word into action. You got to actually do what the word tells you to do. Huh? We can say something to you. What does the word say? I said, I will take heed to my ways. Huh? That I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. Huh? While that wicked, that troubled sea, that person that cannot rest is before me. Huh? They may not shut their mouth, but you better shut yours. Huh? Why? Because you're trying to put into action. Huh? What Jesus says in his word. Huh? Come on, is that the truth? You got to try hard. You got to try hard to put into action what Jesus is saying in his word. You got to let the Lord know, Jesus, I'm serious about this. I do not want to die in my sin. If you ever going to show any mercy to anybody on the earth, let it be me. See me, Jesus. I want you to have mercy on me, right? That's the truth. Nobody else wants this? You got to ask the Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I want you to take away. That word blot out means take it out. Get rid of it. Don't let it be on my resume. I don't want it to be on my record no more. Huh? Blot out all of my transgressions. Huh? Well, how are you going to do that? He gave you the remedy in the New Testament. He tell you got to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Repentance and remission of sin is going to be preached in his name. When you go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, it is for the remission or for the removal of sin. But you just can't say, I got sin off of me. You've got to come up out of that water walking in the newness of life. Huh? Well, that means you need to have some power to live new. Huh? You got to have power to live, think, do new, right? Can't pick up the old. You can't desire the old. Huh? You want to be in Christ Jesus. Why? Because there's no condemnation to them that are where in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, right? Lord is trying to give you power over you. He's trying to give you power over you. Not over nobody else. He's trying to give me power over me. Huh? The thing that's in me that's going wishy-washy. The thing that's in me that can't find no rest and no peace. Huh? The thing that's in me that desires to do evil and to think evil. Huh? And to say evil things. Huh? Come on, everything that come out your mouth may not be evil, but you know the things that's in your head. You know what you're thinking when somebody do something.
Right.
And if you be honest, you say, that's not like Jesus. And if it's not like Jesus, you know it. Guess who else knows it? Jesus knows it. Huh? Jesus said, I know every thought. Huh? Come on. He said, I know every thought and I know the intent. Huh? One fellow was talking to us the other day. He said, how you going to ask me to serve you your food? You don't know whether I'm going to stick my finger in your water. See, that stuff be swimming all in their head. Huh? These folk ain't did nothing to you. All they did is wear a jersey that you didn't agree with. But look at the evil thoughts that was in his mind. And he shared it with us. All I can say is, Jesus, please don't let him hate me. Huh? Why? Because he said already what he felt like. He said, you don't know if I'm going to take my finger and put it in all of your wall. I said, Jesus, these are the evil thoughts that are in people's minds. Who can deliver me from this, right?
Thank you.
At least he was honest. At least he was honest about his. We the one, because we come to church. We think we can get by. We dress a certain kind of way. We carry these books in our hand. And we think, oh, certainly everybody knows. Nah, the Lord looking at you harder than anybody else. Huh? He's looking at you harder because you know better. Huh? Come on, amen. You know better. The truth has been revealed to you. He expects better from you. Huh? He expects better from you. You go down in that water, he expects better from you. He expects you to come up out the water walking. It can't be about you no more. He expects you to come up with an understanding you've been bought with a price. You are no longer your own. The life you live now, you live because of him that loved you and washed you from your sin in his own blood, right? That's the truth. You can't do what you want to do. You can't be going around quoting. Say, I heard such and such saying. You can't do that. Why? That's the counsel. That you want to meditate on what the Lord's word say.
Yes.
Jesus, open up my understanding to your word. Help me to rehearse what you said in your word and put it in the proper context. Huh? Don't let me take the word out of context. Huh? Don't let me apply something to me that ain't written to me. Huh? Amen, Lord Jesus. Huh? Help me to take the word and apply it in the proper context. Huh? Come on, saints. Everybody want to apply a righteous word on a sinner. Huh? And want to condemn a sinner for not doing what a righteous word say for him to do. But he ain't got no power to do it. Huh? You trying to look past the nature. You can't look past the nature. That fellow's got to be delivered from that body of death. Huh? Before you can even put righteousness on him, you've got to get delivered from that body of death. Once that fella's in sin and the desire to stay there, he's free from righteousness. Come on, did y'all know that? He's free from righteousness. He ain't got nothing to do with righteousness. Why? Because he's made his choice. He's made his choice to stay in sin. And he can do anything that sinners are permitted to do. Huh? Amen. He can do anything sinners are permitted to do. Should he live like that? According to me, no. Huh? According to the book, no. He need to come on out of that nature. Why? Because that state is going to bring him death. Huh? But some folk want to die. Huh? Some people want to die. Some people got an appetite for death. Hmm? Oh, so yeah, it's not true. Oh, yes, they do. Look at Judas. Judas had an appetite for death. When he could have lived, what did Judas choose? He chose death. Huh? Did Jesus encourage the saints to run behind Judas? No. Huh? Judas was accountable for his own actions. Huh? Just like you and I, we're accountable for our own actions. But at the end of the day, that brother was free from righteousness. Why? Because the Lord said, whatever you're going to do, go do it quickly. You want to choose sin, go do your sinful thing. But the wage of it is what? The wage of sin is death, right? And death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire.
Yes.
Yes. Come on, is that true?
Yes.
Those that desire to get out of sin, it starts with you asking the Lord to have mercy on you.
Uh-huh.
It starts with you asking the Lord to love, to take advantage of the Lord's love and his kindness.
Yes.
It starts with you understanding just how merciful Jesus has been to you all of your life.
Yes.
Who can go through your life? Only you. Only life I can go through is mine. Huh? I can't go through yours. I can only go through mine. You say, Elder Scudder, why do you praise the Lord the way you do? Because I realize how merciful Jesus has been to me. Huh? Say, you run, ain't no, but sometimes it look like ain't nobody here, but at the end of the day, I got to be here. Huh? At the end of the day, I got to show Jesus. That's all you're doing. All I'm doing is showing the Lord I appreciate. Huh? Come on, I don't owe you nothing. I owe Jesus everything. I owe him everything. All I'm doing is showing him how much I appreciate what he has done for me, right? That's all I'm trying to get across to you. You can't do it for nobody else. Huh? Come on. You can't do this for nobody else. You can't come and say, well, Elder Scott, I want to be saved. You can't be saved for nobody else. You got to be saved for you. You got to realize, I want the Lord's mercy. Huh? Come on. Do you want it? Come on. I can't put that in you. You got to say, I want the Lord's mercy. I recognize the multitude of tender mercy that Jesus has shown who? I ain't got to go across you and ask you. All I got to do is stop and think about where Jesus could have cut my life off. Huh? And how I was deserving of death. Huh? Come on, saints. Every time the Lord righteousness was right there, had every right to cut my life off, mercy stood there and said, not yet, right? Give him a little bit more time, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Huh?
The multitude.
Huh?
When I recognize that, I say, oh, Jesus, sin is not trying to help me, but sin is trying to kill me. Sin is trying to cut my life short.
Huh?
Come on, is that the truth? Sin is trying to get me where I don't get along with you and you don't get along with... Call it for what it is. It's sin. Huh? Sin is trying to stir up evil thoughts in my mind with this other person that has nothing to do with me. Huh? I want to blame you. But at the end of the day, the only person I need to look at. Huh? All I can pay attention to is what's coming out of what? Me.
Huh?
And I need to ask the Lord, blot it out. Huh? If that word blot means take it all. I don't want any of it. Huh? Come on, saints. You can't be sweet and kind with sin. You got to say, Lord, take it all out of my life, right?
Jesus.
Every root of bitterness, all of the malice,
Jesus.
All of the envy,
Jesus.
All of the hatred, huh?
Yes,
all of that lust,
Jesus.
All of that pride, Lord, take it all out of me, right? Blot out all of my, huh? Blot out all of my transgressions. But I mean, you go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ, really go down in that water. I mean, really go and die to that nature. I mean, really go down in that water with an understanding I am dying to that nature. I'm not going down there to make you happy. I'm going down there to get this stuff off of me. Huh? I don't want this on my record no more, right?
Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes.
Criminals, they expunged my record. Huh? Get rid of it. Huh? And when I come about that water, I want to walk new. I want to think new. Huh? I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. Because everybody ain't got no mind to be saved. Huh? When I look over the earth, I don't see a whole lot of people living like Jesus say to live. Huh? Jesus said he went through the cities, the villages, walking towards Jerusalem. Huh? Preaching and teaching. Huh? The things pertaining to the kingdom. Huh? And those that were walking with him said, Lord, are there going to be a few that are going to be saved? Huh? Jesus, I hear all this word that you've given us. I hear all these requirements that you are saying. And I don't see people meeting the mark. I see a whole lot of people trying, but they're not meeting the mark, right? Jesus said, don't you pay attention to no numbers. Huh? Save who? You. Don't concern yourself with the numbers. But just make sure you are saved. Come on. This is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Didn't mean this salvation could be for someone in their living room right now, listening to the plan of salvation. With a person standing before them declaring with thus saith the Lord. And it's just two or three right there. Listening to the plan of salvation in that living room. Do you realize that one that say, Lord, I want to be saved? That same God is rich. Unto all those that do what? Come on. Even in that living room, that soul can be delivered from sin. They may not have a lavish pool. All they may have is a tub. But just take them down in the water. In the neck. Bury them. Cover the whole body. In the water. In the name of Jesus Christ. Encourage them to come out that water walking. In the newness of life. Give them some power to live right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give them some power to live right.
Jesus.
Let them realize even though you've gone down in that water, you still need some power to live right.
Yes.
You need some power to overcome that evil thought. You need some power to overcome that evil nature that is inside of you.
Yes.
Well, how can I do that? Lord said, call on him.
Right.
Jesus. You'll seek me and find me. When you
Jesus.
Search for me with what? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, you talk about wanting to be saved, but you got to act it out. You got to put the word into action. You got to call on Jesus, right? You can't accept no substitute. You got to get in a seeking mode. You got to realize nothing else matters. That's if you want to be saved. You got to realize nothing else matters. I've got to seek Jesus. Come on, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it until the Lord sees you doing it with all of your heart. So that's why I tell you, you ain't got nothing to prove to nobody else. All you got to worry about is what Jesus sees. And when Jesus look at you, you want to see him giving you giving your whole heart into it. Not half-hearted. Come on, he can't give him half-hearted. He didn't give you half up on that cross. He gave you 100%. Scripture said he emptied out all of his blood. He showed you just how much he loved you by showing you how much blood he shed for you. He shed all of his blood on that cross, right? Yes, he did. Shed all of his blood on that cross. And then he's telling you, now it's time for you to show me just how much you want me. You got to call them with a made up mind. I've seen people down through the years calling on the name of Jesus, but didn't have a made up mind. And they come in calling them. They go out still calling them. And they be wondering, what is wrong? Why can't I be saved? Does the Lord love me? He already proved that he loved you. But the question is in your court. The ball is in your court. How much do you love Jesus? How much do you love Jesus? That's true. How much do you love Jesus? Lord's already told you he's not going to become second to nobody. Unless a man is willing to forsake mother, father, sister, brother, houses, land, and even his own self. Lord said he ain't fit to be his. Come on. Why could Jesus say something like that? Because he gave his all for you. And he expects you to be able to do the exact same thing. So the fellow got to want the Holy Ghost. Come on, I mean he got to want the Holy Ghost more than anything else. He's got to have an appetite for it. Appetite for it meaning you can't get involved in anything else. You got to want Jesus so bad, it's difficult to work. You can't even concentrate on your job. It's difficult for you to do anything. Why? Because you want to be saved that bad. Come on. All the Lord is trying to see is when you reach your whole heart. When you get to that point that you give the Lord your whole heart, he will come on the inside. He will gladly walk right on into you. But you've got to give him your all first, right? Is that the truth? Come on, I ain't outside of the book. Lord done told you you'll seek me and find me when you search for me. With what? All your heart. Come on. What does the wicked got to do? The wicked's got to forsake his ways. The unrighteous man has got to forsake his thoughts. And he's got to come back to Jesus wholeheartedly. Huh? And what will the Lord do? The Lord will have mercy on him. Huh? But he's got to have that kind of attitude. Huh? Why are you here? I'm coming for the Lord to have mercy on me. Huh? I can't be worried about who's not and who is. I can't be worried about what they're doing and what they're not doing. All I know is I'm coming to the throne of grace so that I can get the help that I need right now. What kind of help? Help over this Adamic nature. I need Jesus to deliver me from this body of death, right? That's the truth. Come on. Blot out all my transgressions.
And wash me
throughly
from my iniquity.
From my iniquity.
And cleanse me from my sin.
See what the water baptism is? The water baptism is Jesus doing that. Huh? All of that y'all just read there in David, Psalm. Mm-hmm. That's all talking about what going down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ is. That first part in chapter number 51:1, that's that word repent. Huh? Didn't Jesus tell you to do what first? Repent. How does repent mean? Have mercy on me, Jesus. Huh? I don't want to keep on doing this stuff that I'm doing. Stop making excuses for sin. Huh? You got to stop it, right?
All right, Jesus. Thank you.
Huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, well, you know, the doctors done told me I got a mental condition. Well, the Lord can deliver you from that mental condition. Why are you in that condition? Huh? Well, you know, they don't know why. Yes, they do. All they got to do is open up the book. The book told you Adam brought sin into the world. Huh? Sin messed up your mind. Huh? But you come to Jesus, you can be in your right mind. Huh? Ain't that a beautiful thing? That's why I tell you, you got to be where Jesus is at. So that the Lord can show you his power. Huh? Meaning he can go into your brain and fix that stuff. Huh? He can cause all of them demons to come out of you. Huh?
Them
demons of instability. Huh? Of wishy-washy. Huh? That's all they heard. Oh, their brain is off. Their brain is off. The chemicals in their brain is off. But I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost can do for you. Huh? Jesus goes inside of you. Come on, I'm trying to tell you the power of the Lord. Huh? Do you know what medical diagnosis that they would have gave that man in the scriptures? Huh? They would have called his son bipolar, schizophrenic, depressed. Huh? Suicidal. Huh? The man said, I brought him to your disciples. Huh? And they couldn't get that stuff out of him. All my son keep doing is cutting himself, throwing himself in the water, throwing himself in the fire. Huh? He's not finding rest. Huh? He's not finding peace. Jesus said, bring him to me, right? That was one instance. And the other man was a lunatic. Huh? Running around tombs. Screaming at everybody came back. Huh? He was that I let you know that spirit inside of folk is crazy. He even screamed at Jesus. Jesus, what are you doing over here? Huh? Huh? Coming to torment me before my time. Huh? Yeah. Lunatic. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. When Jesus tell that stuff to come out of you. Mm-hmm. See, that's why we call Jesus. Uh-huh. You got to keep on calling his name. Yeah. Huh? You cannot accept substitutes. No. The salvation is in the name. You got to keep on invoking the name until the name does the work. What work? Till he pulls all of that stuff. Huh? Come on! Till he makes that stuff lose its influence. Huh? It no longer has an influence on you. He breaks the bands of iniquity. Huh? That inherited name. He breaks the bands of that stuff, right? Is that stuff real? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Huh? It makes hate linger. You be hating for years. You be wondering, why I got all this hate and this ill will in me? Something's got a hold on me. And the only thing that can release that hold is the name of Jesus. That devil don't want you to be somewhere where you can get the help you need. Huh? Come on. He don't want you to be up under the name. Huh? Go anywhere else. Go anywhere else, have fun anywhere else, But don't you go where the name is. Huh? Don't you go where that name is. Huh? You got all this to do, but just don't you get in there where the name is. Huh? Because he knows if you call on that name long enough, that name is going to work. Huh? It might be years, but that name is going to work. One of these days, you're going to come in here with a made up mind. And you're going to get a hold of that name. And I don't care what's going on, you ain't going to let that name go. Until the name does for you what you can't do for yourself, right? You're going to cry out to that name. And the Lord is going to loose you. Huh? Lord is going to free you. Huh? Come on, thank you, Jesus. I mean, he's going to free you. He's going to remove all that hate. Huh? Going to remove all that bitterness. You're going to replace it with praise. Anybody going to have to tell you to praise the Lord? You're going to praise him automatically. Huh? Tears are just going to flow automatically. Huh? Why? Because you're going to say, Lord, I thank you. Huh? Why? Because you did something for me that was my heart's desire. That's the truth. That's why I love it. I love this sweet salvation. I love that Jesus saved me this way. Because I could have been someplace else, going through the motions. But I love that Jesus saved me this way. Huh? And what I can tell you, just get on down there and call on his name. Huh? Call on his name. Huh? You can roll on the floor. You can run around in circles. I don't care what you do. But you better call on his name. Huh? After you finish running around and you huffing and puffing, I'm going to say, call on his name. Call on his name. Huh? Call him by his name. But I'm already called. Call him some more. Well, when am I going to stop? When? Huh? Come on. When? When? What are you talking about when? When he answers. Huh? He's going to answer. Huh? That's right. You call. If you want Jesus to answer, that means you got to keep calling him until he do it. Huh? You got to keep on saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Until he does what?
Answer.
Huh? Come on, he's not deaf.
Nope.
He's not hard of hearing.
No, he's not.
But you've got to stay there until he does what?
Answer.
Huh?
Jesus.
You say, Elvis, you ain't going to come by and shake me? No.
No.
You ain't going to come by and lay your hands on me? No.
No.
I thought you had the anointing.
No, no, no.
You don't want what I got. Huh? I need Jesus to help me with what I got. You need your own Jesus to help you with what you got, right? Ain't that a beautiful thing?
Yes, it is.
Say, what are you talking about? There you have it. I see Austin, but look on the day of Pentecost. Wasn't nobody laying no hands on nobody.
That's right.
Them folk was just in prayer and supplication, calling on the name of Jesus.
Yes,
each one of them. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. That thing went on for 10 days straight. Come on. We struggle for the little bit of time we come to serve. But when you really want the Holy Ghost, you get an appetite and you don't let that appetite go. You show the Lord consistency. Huh? Come on, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for somebody to really want the Holy Ghost like that. I'm waiting to get a call. Huh? I'm waiting for somebody to call me, Elder. I need to come on in here for prayer. I said, all right, meet me around there. What are we going to do? You want to talk to me? I just need to get on my knees and call you. Get on your knees, brother, sister. Get on your knees. Call him by his name. Ain't nobody going to be here but me and you. Call him by his name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus. How long are we going to do this? Until you get tired. Huh? Until you get tired. Huh? But I didn't get no Holy Ghost yet. And I really want them. Well, what are you doing tomorrow? Well, I got this to do. Well, when you really want to be saved, you'll find time for Jesus. Huh? You will find time for Jesus, right?
Yes, you will. Thank you, Jesus.
You'll find time for
it. Yes, you will. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We had a deacon years ago.
Jesus.
I wasn't there because he got saved for me.
Jesus.
That brother came in on a Saturday for prayer.
Yeah.
Had to go out of the church. While he was praying, he left to go run some errands and came back. Got back on his knees some more. And then the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Well, he said, well, why didn't the Lord fill him the first time he was down there? Because what was the Lord looking for? Huh? See, part of his heart was on his errand. Everybody understand? That's why you can't get mad at Jesus when folk don't come through with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Lord is the only one that knows when they give him the whole heart. Huh? They get down there and be foaming and screaming and hot. And then they get up on the altar still with no Holy Ghost. And the only thing you can say is, Lord, you know. Jesus, you know when they're giving you their whole heart. Say, well, I ain't get the Holy Ghost tonight. It's still something missing. Huh? Then the Lord tell that rich young ruler, you're lacking one thing, right? There's still something missing, right? Well, I don't understand. The only one you can go to is Jesus. Ask the Lord, Jesus, what is it? What is keeping you from coming down on the inside of my life? Huh? And as he starts to show you, when he shows you truth, say amen to it. Don't argue with him. Huh? Don't try to make all kind of excuses. He's showing you truth. All you need to say is, amen, Jesus. And let that thing go. Huh? At the end of the day, it's not worth your soul.
Oh, it's not. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You want the Holy Ghost to come in you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? Holy Ghost comes in you. He gives you power over that nature. You don't have to try.
That's it.
Some people think, well, you got to just keep trying to live. You don't have to try. You get the Holy Ghost in you. Jesus is in you. You don't have to try to live right. It's already in you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Your trying is meaningless. Because you're fighting an endless battle. You don't have the power to overcome it. That's the truth with stuff. Folks don't want to call that truth out. You say, well, I don't understand why this such and such is doing this over there, because they have no power. Huh? Just because they go to church, carry a Bible, and sing a couple of songs, and no doctrine, that ain't got nothing to do with the Holy Ghost living inside of you. You need to tarry. I mean, you need to wait until you are endued with power from on high, right?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Can't rush the process. You have to stay there until you know Jesus is where it is.
In you.
Not just in this part of your body. You want him all over. You want him all over, and you want him to be active.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Jesus said he doesn't come inside of you to go to sleep. We serve a God that does not sleep.
Right.
Huh? Right. Jesus don't have to shut his eyes. He doesn't have to sleep.
Right.
We rest. He doesn't have to rest. You want him to be in you and doing what? Walking.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Up and down in you. Huh? Lord, get my feet right. Huh? Come on, that's the truth. You want the Lord to get every area of your life right. Huh? You want him to sanctify your whole body. Huh? Set my whole body aside to be used for who? For you,
Jesus.
Does that make sense? It makes sense to me. Come on, I'm done. I'm past my time. Blot out all my transgressions. Huh? Wash me thoroughly. They go to baptism. It's right there. I told you the first part of that chapter is the repentance. Then now you're coming into the baptism part. Keep going. Now let me know, can you let go of repentance? Notice, it still follows you. After the Lord washes you clean, you still need to ask the Lord to help you over that nature, right? You got to acknowledge, Lord, when I came up out that water, I was still thinking stuff that I shouldn't have been thinking. I even did things that I shouldn't have done. Huh? But what is this scripture telling you? What did that verse say? I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is where? Right? I don't put it on the back burner. I don't put my shortcomings, my errors on the back burner. I keep that stuff where? Huh? Nobody wants to live like that, Elder Scudder. If I keep looking at myself, how am I going to look at somebody else? How am I going to tell Deacon James all his wrong if every time I look at him, I'm seeing me? Jesus, you messing up my view. Because I need to tell him about him. Right? It's not fair, Jesus. That's our attitude.
Yeah.
But the Lord said, no, 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 no. You need to see who. You need to work on who.
Yeah. Thank you.
I acknowledge my transgression and my sin. See how it's personal? It's personal. I can't go around and point the finger. I need to see me. Where am I coming up short? And when I'm doing this wrong stuff, who am I doing it against? Not the other person. Jesus said it's a direct attack against who? My children will tell you all the time. I tell y'all all the time. It should be brainwashed. I need to get t-shirts made. You cannot control what other people do or say to you. Only person you can control is who. And you better take account for what you do. Because that's how you're going to be judged. Your response. What you did. Personal accountability. Is that in you by nature? No. You got the Adam inside of you. And what does the Adam say? That woman that you gave me, I didn't even ask for her. Huh? Is that what Adam did? Adam said, did you eat that fruit that I told? Jesus said, did you eat that fruit I told? That woman you gave me. I was fine by myself, Jesus. Here you are thinking you know what's best for me, Jesus. I'm trying to help you.
Amen.
I pray it help you all. I really do. I really do. I really do. We got to overcome that thing, saints. We got to overcome it. It's going to get the best of us. It's going to get the best of us if we don't. Come on. Is that all of it? Get me down to the clean heart. There's evil in thy sight. That might be. Well, now, speakers and clear. Clear. Don't you want the Lord to be clear when you're going through? Huh? Come on. Is that the truth? Huh? What Darius say? Them tires were spinning. Huh? Had to pay out of his pocket. Huh? What did he say? I got to do some evaluation. Huh? You need the Lord to be clear. Why am I going through all of this? Why is all of this happening to who? Am I doing something that you're not happy with, Jesus? Help me to see it. Help me to hear what you're saying to me. Read that verse again. I don't want to quote it wrong.
Against thee and thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest.
Huh?
And be clear when thou judgest.
In other words, you can't go around casting blame. You need to see what did I do to bring this on me. Huh? And that way you can fix it. A smart person wouldn't go back and do it again. Right? Say, well, if this got me this result and I don't want this to happen again, let me do things different. Because if you know Jesus, he's going to bring you through that test again. Huh? When you least expect it. He's going to bring you through that test again. To see what? Did you really learn your lesson? And if not, guess what's going to happen again? Go ask Israel. How many times did they go through the test? They went through it so long, the Lord killed off a whole generation. Huh? We messing with a God. The time mean nothing to Jesus. He's eternal. These little clocks we got on our walls and on our wrists, that don't mean nothing to Jesus. Huh? It ought to mean something to you, but it don't mean nothing to Jesus. Come on. I'm almost done. I just want to get to the clean heart. Yes, 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 yes. They go to source. Source, right? Keep going. What does the Lord desire?
Part,
huh?
In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean.
Wash
me, I
This is the entrance of the Holy Ghost. See, when the Holy Ghost comes in, what do you hear? You hear joy and what? Huh? Everybody understand that? When you receive the Holy Ghost, you shouldn't be sad. That's a time of what? Rejoicing. Time of being glad about Jesus. Right? How well do you, Williams, used to always say, I got the glad glance. Somebody receive the Holy Ghost, you see, and they got the glad glance. They got that joy just all inside. They just be getting up off the altar smiling. Because they just glad about Jesus. Huh? That's the entrance of the Holy Ghost. That's Jesus coming where? Inside. Right? Keep going. May rejoice. Yep. Yes. That's it. That's it. Huh? See, what the Holy Ghost is not coming to remake you. Holy Ghost is coming to make you new. Huh? Remember the writer said in the New Testament, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? And now here in the Old Testament, what is he telling you? Created me a what? A clean heart. And renew a what? A right spirit. Where? Keep going.
Cast me not away from thy presence.
Yes.
Take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Yes.
Restore me to joy of thy salvation.
Yes.
Holy with thy free spirit.
Yes.
Then when I keep transgressing
thy word. In other words, I ain't got no business talking to nobody else about Jesus until I get me straight. Huh? Look at the order. All of that has to be taken care of first. And then he uses a powerful word there to start off that thought. He says, what? Then. Mm-hmm. What was that?
Then.
In other words, after I do all of my part, then I can talk to somebody else.
Yeah. And sinners shall be converted.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Things that we got that thing backwards. Mm-hmm. We want to do all the talking. We want to take that verse and put it all the way up the front. You know, I laugh sometimes. People come in and they listen to a couple of lessons and they think they know the whole book. Oh, you said such and such and such. I went and I told such and such about it. Well, you ain't got no business doing that. You should just kept that to yourself and ask the Lord to help you. Huh? You ain't got no business talking to nobody because you just don't know. You don't know what that other person knows. That other person may know more than you. And you get to talking and they get to talking and then you be just as lost. Right? That's why it'd be best for you to do what? Keep your mouth shut. Huh? Get what you're supposed to get first. And then as the writer said, then. Huh? You can't teach nobody something you ain't gone through yourself. How can I teach somebody else how to be delivered? And I haven't been delivered myself. Huh? I want to tell everybody in the pulpit, they ain't got what they supposed to be having. You got to go to the source. You know that tree by the fruit it bear, right? Look at their life, right? Don't make excuses. That ain't right. That ain't right. Then how are they going to teach you how to overcome a nature that they ain't overcome yet? Huh? Remember, a fountain don't bring forth both sweet and bitter at the same time. It's either what? One? Think about this. I'm done. I done closed up my book. Church, y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus.